Tonight, James conceals his car as a weapon. Mike beats a lamp with a baseball bat. And we get violent in the workplace.
James from SorrelPunk.com.
And these are the mellow, dulcet tones of Couch Potato Mike.
And Merry Christmas, yous guys.
Merry Christmas to all yous guys out there. All the way from Wisconsin down to Jamaica.
Oh, Jeff Radke from Lost Skills Podcast got the package of RC Cola Moon Pies, patches, and stickers I sent him finally.
Oh, sweet.
His retarded post office worker left it in a vehicle overnight with like -3 temperatures.
Oh, are you kidding?
It did not bust. I was afraid that the RC Cola was going to explode.
Yeah.
But he just had a slushy. It was like still pourable and liquid. So still drinkable. He's like,
wow, down in the South, they actually bottle slushies.
Yeah. They, probably not the, I was worried about that. Like temperature wise, like, if I had sent anything in the summer, the moon pies would have
melted
and became disgusting. In the wintertime, sending anything from here to there is going to freeze. So there's that. But everything showed up more or less in good condition, and Jeff enjoyed the I sent him the limited edition white survival punk patch that the company I ordered from sent me because it was like a proof.
Huh.
And I was wrong. I said it was the only one in existence. There are actually two white patches, so there's only two in the entire world white survival punk patches.
Oh, my God.
So it's still a limited edition collector's.
Yes. And if by some weird chance you actually manage to bring those two white patches together, it'll unlock the key to show you where One-Eyed Willie's treasure is.
Yeah. The one... What's that damn anime? The One Piece. Yeah. There's a pirate treasure thing. I don't know. I can't get into it. Do we have anything to chit-chat about today? Banter? I mean, it's... Let's see. By the time you guys hear this, it'll be, what, 4 days to Christmas, we decided? Like...
Yep.
Seven? Yeah, because this will come out on Wednesday.
This comes out on Wednesday, and then Christmas is 4 days later.
Yeah, and then I'll probably share up the... we've done one or two Christmas episodes in the past, but I don't really... Since we do a weekly podcast, I feel that just sharing a holiday-themed podcast episode is kind of cheating you guys. Like, I don't really feel that that's like... I don't feel that's a good bargain for what you're getting here. Like, you listen to this free podcast, and you damn well expect a new podcast on survival, not a rehashed old repeat episode. So,
yeah.
That's why we skipped doing a Thanksgiving episode. We mentioned it a little bit in there, and we talked about it.
And I gave you my turkey recipe.
Right, and we're going to mention and talk about Christmas slightly in this episode, but the main topic of the show will not be on Christmas. And if you do want a Survival Punk Christmas episode, then I will share one, or you Google Christmas Survival Punk. I'm sure one or two podcasts will show up.
Mm. Oh, and I did want to mention that since the last time I was on a podcast, because I skipped last week, I was on a little getaway, celebrating my 13th year wedding anniversary to my lovely wife, Mike's wife. We got away to Chattanooga. Didn't see any smoke while we were there, so nothing was burning. That's always a good thing. Only trip we've ever taken without the kids in 13 years of marriage.
Wow.
Yeah, no kids. It was just me and her overnight. But since then, my co-host here, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast before, like last one, but I got a logo now.
Oh, yeah, for early Christmas, a.k.a. birthday, I guess.
Yeah, because my birthday is December the 5th.
Yeah, 2015. Yeah, so I got him a Couch Potato Mike logo made, because he didn't have one. He had, I think on one page, he just had a picture of some potatoes or something, and on the website, and still, I haven't changed it yet. Is just
some
a couch.
Some random couch.
Yeah. So.
But now, I mean, if you've been If you've been anywhere on Facebook that I hang out, you've seen my Couch Potato Mike official logo. It's my logo for everything now. It's my logo on YouTube and on Facebook and on Google Play and all that fucking shit. I love that fucking logo. I really, really do. That fucking logo is awesome. I even printed it out, made business cards. I got fucking my logo up at my desk at work.
Yeah.
My logo's fucking everywhere.
People in the punks were asking about stickers. They want you to come up with stickers.
I know. That is so awesome. People want Couch Potato Mike sticker. And I was surprised at how much that potato looks like me.
It eerily does look like you.
Even to the straight up ponytail. I love that.
Yeah.
Love that so much. Thank you, bro.
You are welcome. And if you guys are interested, I'm thinking really hard. Like, I think it's going to be a thing. I think me and Mike are going to open our Christmas gifts for YouTube. Because it'd be fun. I wish I'd YouTubed years ago when I gave him that signed Kevin Smith DVD.
Oh my God.
So I can get Couch Potato Tears on film.
That was like 5 years ago, as of the other day that you gave it to me, because Facebook reminded me. He's like, 5 years ago today, this picture was posted.
Oh, yeah.
And it was me with my jaw on the fucking floor.
I've seen that, yeah.
Holding Kevin Smith's fucking autograph on a copy of Red State.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so if you do Google Christmas Survival Punk, you will find lots of goodies to be had. And episode, I think, 43 and then 83 are both Christmas podcast episodes. So,
and you know what else would be a really great goodie for the Christmas season? It's small, it's portable, and it staves away boredom and helps you survive. It is Conflicted, the card game.
Yeah, definitely. If you have not picked up a deck, it's a good season to pick up a deck of Conflicted, the card game. We have two podcast episodes where we play them, so you get a chance to sort of feel, you know, what the game's about, see if it's actually something you'd like, and I believe it would be. With seven decks, there's one for you to choose from that will fit what you most like. I think I have decks 1 and 7, 7 Economic Collapse, and it's the most recent podcast episode that, you know what, I heard feedback from people that they're like skeptical about listening to us play a game on air.
Mm-hmm.
But they really enjoyed the episode.
Oh, absolutely. And the awesome thing about Conflicted the Card Game, and gives you all these scenarios, really makes you think. And if you're not wanting to play that, it also works as a regular deck of cards, complete with jokers and all the numbers and suits and all that. So you could pretty much play any card game. You could play poker. You could play canasta, whatever.
You can play card tricks. I was watching a YouTube video this morning how it's a trick called the boomerang where you throw it up and it comes back to you and you catch it. I watched it thinking that the guy was going to throw it out like a boomerang, but no, you throw it up and it spins back towards you. So,
oh, that's pretty awesome.
Maybe not the best trick ever, but still pretty neat.
So go to survivalpunk.com and find that little banner marked for Conflicted the Card Game.
Yes, and play and enjoy. That's actually a good spin. I'm throwing the cards here.
Yeah, you are. You're getting a little bit distracted. You're having a squirrel moment there.
Yeah.
So why don't we just jump right into this? And our main topic, our spear point today, if you will, is actually originates as a question.
I thought you were about to break into Elmer Fudd there and say,
What? That wasn't Elmer Fudd. I don't know what that was.
You started Elmer Fudd stuttering.
Wait, Elmer Fudd doesn't... Porky Pig stutters. Elmer Fudd just talks with a
with a speech impediment. Maybe it's Porky Pig then. Forgot about Porky Pig. Anyway.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah.
The main topic.
Speaking of pigs, Matt from Oklahoma.
Matt, we love you. Matt called in with a question, and
hey, he's hot for a bearded fat guy.
And you know what? I think I will play his question right now. All right, you just heard Matt. We didn't hear Matt. We heard me clapping.
Way to spoil the magic.
Yeah, the magic behind the scenes. I think in the future I'm going to record these podcasts and put them on YouTube so you can actually see the podcast being recorded. But until then, Matt asked about workplace survival, workplace safety, since, you know, a lot of us cannot carry our concealed carry firearms at work with us. So how do you say safe when, you know, there's a lot of what's being called now as active shooter situations, which are anyone that comes in and shoots up a place, you know, like the movie theater, the malls, and then workplaces. There have been a lot of you know, people going to someone's work. Like, I remember years ago hearing about this guy that went into his ex-girlfriend, wife, girl he liked somethings, I don't know, with an AK-47 in California and just shot up the entire place, basically, because she dumped him or whatever. So,
Jesus Christ.
These things happen, and I don't want to follow the liberal tow line saying they're happening more often, but there is a possibility that these could happen, whether they be from, you know, false flag attacks or all the medicines that we're prescribing people that they don't need that may be causing them to act violently. So in any case, yeah, there may be more violence in the workplace, and you could end up in a situation where there's an active shooter and you need to be safe, but your work does not allow you to carry your concealed carry weapon, even though you have a state-issued permit.
You know, that's funny. I've actually got two personal notes on what you just said. One, about the medication making people violent. My son, Tony, when he first came to us, he was completely over-medicated on a bunch of stuff. I mean, he had a pill for this and a pill for that and a pill to counteract the effects of this pill and all this stuff. And he was very aggressive, very violent, had very bad temper. I mean, would fly off and literally had tried to attack me a couple of times.
Right.
And guess what? One by one, sometimes by accident, sometimes by necessity, we've weaned him off of all of his medication. Completely, all of his medication was completely unnecessary. It was instituted by people that were trying to control him because they didn't know how to. And since he's been off his medication, his moods have been completely level. His attitude has been a total 180. I mean, the only thing making him aggressive was all that fucking medicine. And as a matter of fact, they were giving him medicine to help him sleep at night. And the only reason he needed that was because from the side effects from the other medications.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's off all this medication, and he's a perfectly fine young man. He's perfect. I mean, nobody's normal. There's no such thing as normal. If you think there's normal, you're completely abnormal for thinking that. But yeah, I mean, he's growing up to be quite a fine, outstanding citizen without all that unnecessary medication. And the other second personal note, I don't think that's a problem at my workplace as far as concealed carry. My boss walks around with a gun, with a pistol in the small of his back.
Well, and I was going to say, you tend to see that more with sort of small mom-and-pop type places over corporate places, because corporate bureaucracy gets in the way and is like, oh, you can't carry your firearm.
Oh, yeah. He ain't the only one either. I mean, one of our sales reps will have, he fucking has a pistol in an ankle holster half the damn time.
Yeah, and you do work in a pharmacy, which is a pretty much, it will be a target in a shit hit the fan or, you know, just for junkies that want drugs.
Fuck yeah.
So there's good, like, you know, people are always like, ah, and a shit hit the fan, let's bug out to Walmart. Well, all the junkies are like, let's hit the drugstore. That's what we want. Let's get all the pills.
Yep, and I work for a guy that has zero problem shooting a thief.
Exactly, and that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for those of us that do work in places that do not allow us to carry firearms, what can we do? I have some thoughts on this, and instead of just doing this as a typical listener call-in, where I would just give you a short, concise answer, I think we can ramble long enough to make this a whole episode.
I don't know. I mean, we're pretty straightforward guys. I mean, we usually don't get off topic.
Oh, my God. Did you listen to the whole podcast last week with Harlan Meeks on Backup Power and whatnot? I know
I listened to the first few minutes. I keep getting distracted because I've got like 20 different podcasts I listen to.
I think at one point we started having a conversation about about how action movies aren't as good as they were back in the 80s and stuff. And it was like,
how is it we keep talking to guests about shit like that? Like that dude that's living down in Mexico in an RV. We're talking about 80s cartoons with him.
Yeah, and that's a bonus feature if you're a Sorrel Punk Army member, as you get to listen to us talk to him about cartoons.
Where the fucking God, me and you just need to make a side podcast that's all about media from the 80s.
Yeah, I did have that idea for the 80s podcast, but by God, would that be a lot of work. But it would take off. It would have a larger audience than we could ever get with Sorrel Punk Podcast.
Fuck yes. And I mean, see, that's the thing with our conflicting fucking work schedules and all that shit.
Yeah. Well, with that, to get back on topic real quick, I wanted to make that like a 10-minute podcast, like real quick, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, we have a long time staying on topic.
This day in the 80s?
Yeah. Yeah, and do it 7 days a week. Or, like, spend one day and do it for, like, 70 minutes. Hmm. And then just put it out. But anyway, if that's your passion, then maybe you should do that, and I will listen to it when you do it. But, yeah, active shooter situations. I've seen some training courses on these. Some are better than others. Some are, like, legit training courses, and some are, like, hey, watch this video, because most places at work make you watch this video on active shooter situations now. And their philosophy on how to survive one, which is like deny something, something. I don't remember all of them. It was kind of boring. But basically it was don't let them get to you. Makes sense. Escape and defend. So to break that down, obviously if you see someone with a gun, maybe you should get out of that area. And, you know, like, don't let them, if you can barricade yourself in a room, that's an option. I prefer to leave the area altogether, and we'll dig into these a little bit more later. So deny them access to hurting you. Leaving, yeah, blocking yourself in, and then, you know, fight back. That's an option. And we will cover all of those in the JamesForStylePunk.com method. So, survival in the workplace, tackle this, you know, violence type thing and the general, you know, any sort of shit hit the fan, any sort of survival situation whatsoever, even if you don't have a weapon, that's not your number one tool. In any survival situation, whether it be armed attacker or fire or anything, or any job loss, all of those, every survival situation you could think of, your number one tool always is your mind and your mindset.
Fuck yes.
So having the knowledge, having the experience, and thinking properly in those situations is your number one tool. You have to get that squared away before you even start thinking about improvised weapons and firearms. And I was like, if you really get funky, you should take the advice from my last mega article I put out, which I'll put a link to because that'll help it grow bigger, and then share. I did a almost 2,500 word long blog post on homemade weapons. Some of these are pretty janky, and some are like, wow, that's a piece of art right there, my friend. So yeah, probably not going to have the time in a survival situation to make a gun at work, but I've seen some pretty improvised ones you could do in like minutes.
You know, interestingly enough, talking about improvised weapons, on a side note here, I just saw this video about how somebody basically turned like 3 pennies into a knife with a little fold out.
Australian pennies?
Exactly.
That's a Throw Pump group. Yeah, I saw that.
That was pretty dope, actually.
It was. I would carry that. I mean, just because it fits in your pocket, obviously.
I mean, fuck yeah. I mean, and at a glance, it just looks like loose change.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty nice.
I love improvised weapons.
Me too.
And I'm a big knife guy, so.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna work on some improvised melee type weapons. I have an idea for, and I might buy the supplies today. I have an idea for an apocalyptic tomahawk, because I know a bunch of you guys are tomahawk fans, and this thing will be gnarly and easy to make in minutes. So your mindset. You have to be prepared to survive. You have to be prepared to do whatever it needs to be done to survive.
Yeah, surviving is the key word here. The word survive, just there's a lot packed into that word.
Right. Yeah, and definitely thinking clearly and not panicking. So, yeah, you know.
The time to panic is no time to panic.
Right.
That's your couch potato tip of the day.
You know, some people, I don't know, I guess they just default. Like, there's sort of two mindsets. And if you're one, you need to become the other. So people either panic and freak out in tense situations.
God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
That was completely unnecessary. If you're like in a 1980s movie, you just slap a woman that's freaking out like that. Like Gremlins.
That was a dramatic reenactment, God damn it. I will pay you back for that.
Yeah, so you're either that person and you freak out, or you're the other sort of like crazed type A situation or type A personality that's like, I got this. You know, it's like
All right, everybody, I know exactly what to do. All right, I'm taking control of this situation. Everybody behind me, I'm going to take out these motherfuckers.
Yeah, follow me if you want to survive, that kind of...
Come with me if you want to live.
Yeah, so... And hopefully, none of you guys are the freak-out personality, but maybe your wives and children are, or friends, and then you can help them to transition into this survival mindset. You don't necessarily have to be a leader. You don't have to be a leader in every situation, and that's okay. But you need to think clearly and calmly, analyze the situation, take out the sort of emotional excess, you know, and focus on what's important, which is not freaking out. So that's number one.
And I would say that, I mean, yeah, you don't always have to be the leader, but I think you should get in the mindset of always being prepared to be the leader if need be.
Yeah, yeah. You, I don't know if it's like the millennial generation or just some like weenie people, but some people fear that leadership role with a passion. So maybe like some, team building type leader activities where you can practice that. Like, obviously not everyone's in the military because they would probably teach most of you this besides, you know, being a leader and a follower, both. There's other things you can do, you know, with like games, like real life games, like maybe paintball and stuff, where you can sort of learn and practice that leadership mentality so you can get better at it. And not fear it. I hate that. Like, it's a crippling disease among people right now. And I would say my generation, which sadly I'm a millennial, and I hate that. But I've seen it in older
generation X.
You may be. I'm not.
I know I'm a Generation Xer.
Yeah, you may be like the tail end of Generation X. Where I, because you're 78, 79?
Yep, 78.
78. I was born in 1982, and that puts me square in the millennial generation. Serenity, my girlfriend, looked it up one time on Wikipedia, and their definition was millennials, which is weird because they're still calling younger people millennials. But millennials are people that came to age at the millennium. And in the year 2000, I was 18. I turned 18. 4 days after the year turned 2000. So I, by definition, am a millennial. But anyway, there's a crippling disease. It's a moth, not a bee. Stop freaking out.
It flies. I don't like flying bugs.
Creeping out. I don't know how it's even still alive. But yeah, it's a crippling fucking disease where people refuse to make decisions. Refuse. Anytime there's a decision, they would rather pass it off. They don't want to make that call. Where I almost always, like, I'll just throw out a decision. I don't care. I'd rather pick a decision, run with it, and if it's wrong, analyze, pick another decision.
It's like the fucking weird episode of MASH where they were fucking pinned down by this one crazy sniper, and Frank Burns is panicking. He's like, we need to do something, anything! Yeah. I like Hawkeye. He's like, I agree with Frank. I think we should do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and anytime there's a decision, if there's two things, stop wasting time trying to pick which one's best. Pick one. Measure the results.
You need a direction. You can't go two different directions at the same time.
Yeah. Like, I remember one time when I was working at a car wash as a manager, so the cars go down this track, and the wind, like, all the machines wash it and stuff, and then there's a giant industrial blower that blows the water off to get it a little bit dry. Usually they're wiped down afterwards. But the shield, the shroud around one of the fans, like, from the wobbling, like, came loose, pulled out of its rivets, and was dangling. And there was 100%, like, I knew for certain watching it that it was going to fall on this expensive car and, like, crack the windshield.
Oh, God.
So I could either, like, run back there, stop the machine, or this, you know, all these things go through my heads, and this is a split second, and I decided to just jump up there, grab it, rip it off all the way, and then just put it out of the way so the car could come out. You know, and everyone else, like, at that end down there was, like, freaking out. They're like, oh, God, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And then, you know, just grab it and just, you know, there's no way I could have made it to the back of the machine in time to hit the stop button, so and I wasn't going to pay for a cracked windshield.
That reminds me of this old story, this short story that I read years and years ago about this woman. She was pregnant, and she had a fiance, and she had a mother and a father, and they all lived in this little cottage, and they went down to the root cellar, and there was an axe, like sticking out of the ceiling, out of one of the ceiling beams, and she's like, "Oh God, there's an axe sticking out of that. What if one day when our child is born, he comes down here and that axe falls out and lands on him and kills him?" And she just sat there crying, like frozen with fear. And her mother came down and asked what was wrong, and she explained to her, and they both sat there crying and morbid with fear. And the father came down and was like, "What's wrong?" And they told him, and they all three just sat there crying and wailing, morbid with fear. Then her fiance came down and was like, "What's going on?" And they explained it to him, and he was like, "You fucking idiots." And he just reaches up and pulls the axe out of the damn thing. Not exactly the same scenario, but
yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's don't be that woman and that father. Which,
but they were so panicking that they couldn't make the simplest of decisions.
Yeah, exactly. So always make a decision. Always, always make a decision.
Sometimes the only choices you have are bad, but you still have to choose.
Yeah,
Doctor Who.
So moving on, because we're Gabby. after you've got your mindset locked down, and that could be a whole episode in and of itself, even with ramblings, it would be like 4 hours long. Maybe we'll do that at some point in the future. Escape and evade. So you don't have a weapon, pulling out your pistol and shooting the armed person is not an option. You can't do it. So what do? Escape and evade. So obviously, first of all, you should always be practicing situational awareness. Always
know where all your exits are at any given time.
Yes, and at your work, you should definitely know that. There should be every workplace that's OSHA certified, which, if you're listening to this in America, yeah, there are clear unmarked exits, or your place of work will get fined. So know your exits. I'll get to that next. Know your environment. We'll talk about that more in depth. So you see a person, you make that decision of whether you can confidently escape and or where you can get to. So you want to evacuate the area where you would get shot at as quickly as possible and take a route that would not get you shot, you know.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is sneaking off to the bathroom, pulling this shitty roof tile things out of the way, climbing up in there and then escaping that way. Maybe you have an emergency exit door, you know, that'll set off a fire alarm, which will make everyone else escape as well, which would be a benefit to everyone, possibly, or create a panic, but probably help people out. So push that open, run out there. Unless you work in a giant, wide open warehouse with nothing at all in it, there's probably things to hide behind and ways to escape without being seen or have cover and concealment along the way to help you escape.
See, that's one of the benefits about you working at a place like Walmart. I mean, that place is riddled with exits and shit to hide behind.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, most places, like any grocery store, any, some offices could be a bit sketchy. But if you watch The Matrix, you know Neo showed you how to escape from armed people. You just sort of crouch and hide along the cubicles.
Yeah, I'm like right now, just right off the top of my head, I can think of the place I work. There's four exits.
Yeah.
And I know exactly where they are, and I can get to any of them in under a minute.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, there's windows. So you should be thinking about these things.
That's one thing I don't like about my workplace. The windows don't open.
But you're on the first floor, though.
Well, there is only one floor.
Yeah. So you take your desk chair, throw it out the window, and then jump.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Yeah. If it's possibly getting cut by a little glass or being shot, I'm going to take the glass every day.
Actually, no, they wouldn't have put bulletproof glass in.
I severely doubt it. It may be like high-impact glass, but
well, yeah, maybe. But anyway.
Yeah. So, and these are the things that you should be thinking about. You should be thinking about how you would escape at different places throughout your workplace. So, you know, that's what you need to be thinking about, which leads us into your environment. You need to learn your environment down pat and then know what in your environment can be useful. So you can, I remember like years, I remember this stupid saying like, to a ninja, anything can be a weapon. Well, to you smart survivalists out there, mm-hmm. anything can be a weapon if used properly in a certain way. So you need to, and it sounds weird, but you're not a psycho, my friends. This is survival information.
Yep.
You need to look around and try to mentally think how the different things in your environment could be used to protect you from an attacker.
Oh, God, my desk is like riddled with weapons.
Exactly. Yeah. And not even having to modify things, but just like, oh, here's a steel folding chair. I could wrestle this motherfucker. I could hit him in the back of the head.
I've got wires to garrote people with. I've got scissors. I've got like staple removers. I've got a staple gun. I've got nails and screws at my desk, pens and pencils, which you can stab somebody with.
Exactly. Bigger things. If you work at like,
I think I've actually got a hookbill knife at my desk too.
Oh yeah. I like those. Say, if you work at a sporting goods store, you know, like Cabela's or something, you could probably smash the glass and get a gun and the ammo's in front of you. So that's an option. You have to, these things.
If you work at an S-Mart, though, they usually keep those guns completely loaded with
27 rounds.
Yeah, three times the amount that they should be able to hold.
Yeah. Work smart, my friends. Work S-Mart. Yeah. They couldn't use that for that damn show. It pissed me off.
Yeah, they're not allowed to use fucking anything from the Army of Darkness. They can only use the Evil Dead because it's made by two different studios.
I have that. I have season one on DVD. We need to watch it sometime.
Oh, Ash versus the Evil Dead?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so anything can be used as a weapon. So not necessarily do you have to carry in a firearm, but there are lots of weapons in your environment. You need to, and to be able to creatively use your environment. Like, if you have sprinkler systems, you could, like, smash open and pour water on someone, you know, or, you know, whatever. There's things like that, like, you know, like emergency fire doors. Like, I know a lot of places, warehouses and whatnot, have, like, these fire doors on these chains that'll drop in the case of emergency or in a fire. There's a way to activate them without it being a fire, and that's a serious, like, block, because they're usually made of, you know, steel, or mm-hmm. it's a way to block yourself from an attacker. So not only the weapons in your environment, but the environment itself could be used as a weapon or protection measure from the attackers. So you need to learn and think about all of these things in your environment so you can keep yourself safe. Skills. So by skills, I mean the ability to utilize a lot of these improvised melee weapons, you know, whether it's practicing. The fitness you need to, you know, I don't necessarily think that anyone or everyone should be running marathons all the time, but I do think a good sprint speed is the most useful thing in a survival situation. You know, so not necessarily like, oh, you can run 7 miles or whatever, but how quick can you run a short distance? That's way more important.
You got to think like a cheetah.
Yeah, it's not about the long game. It's about the short game in this situation.
Yep. I mean, they can run insanely fast for a few seconds.
Yes. Yes. So, and there's so many health benefits for sprinting anyway, and then improving your sprint. There's just, you know, like 700 times human growth hormone production by sprinting once a week. Yeah, why wouldn't you do it? So, sprinting, I would say at most, having a decent 2 mile time would be the most you would ever need. And that's sort of what I think about when it comes to like sort of zombie survival situations. Like, they're slow, so you just need a good, you know, 2 mile time. So
it
sprinting in like
zombie.
2 mile. Right, yeah. If it's one of those fast running zombies, you're fucked anyway.
If it's World War Z, the movie, not the book. But if it's World War Z, yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah. I think in the book, they're slow moving ones, which was one of the factors that made me like it even more. But yeah. The skills to make weapons, use weapons, you know, the fitness to use them, run. Those are important. And especially since you cannot carry a firearm, you need to try to make yourself the weapon, you know, through physicality and training and the skills you acquire. for all of these things. And that also, like, to broaden it out, that goes to things like the ability to start a fire minimally with minimal equipment, the ability to purify water, like, to go broader on survival situations. All of those skills are important. You know, even if you don't have your number one tool, whether it be a firearm or a knife, to be able to perform these basic survival functions without those tools is a necessity.
You know, I saw a very interesting build video this morning, how to make a very small but efficient kind of a solar still out of two 1-liter soda bottles, some hot glue, and a small piece of PVC.
I think we should build that. I was taken aback. Literally, I aghast.
I know.
Mike said build video. I was like, that's what I watch. That's my bread and butter. That's, yeah.
I like shocking people.
Yeah. I usually have to force Mike to watch build videos, which usually if I make him watch one, it's one of the best ones I've seen. And it's like, oh, I enjoyed that, James. Thanks for that. But he'll never, like, it's like action movies. I force Mike to watch action movies begrudgingly. And he's like, that was good. I'm glad you made me watch that. And he forces me to watch comedy movies because I'll never watch a comedy movie ever.
I don't know why.
It's just...
It's not like you hate to laugh.
No, I don't. I have a few comedy movies in my bookshelf, but it's few and far between, and most of it's action or zombies. Action or zombies.
Oh, my God. I love Crank 2.
It was a good movie?
Crank 2.
Shiny Lunchbox.
To fucking charge up his heart with static electricity. He's just fucking that chick, like, right in the middle of the fucking racetrack.
Yep.
And everybody's cheering for him. They tossed him a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Those movies seem like they're set in the Grand Theft Auto universe.
They kind of are. Yeah. They should film one in first-person view.
Oh,
like Hardcore Henry, which is the best movie ever.
Fuck yes, Hardcore Henry.
So, non-lethal weapons you can carry at work. There are, depending on your workplace, probably a variety of weapons that are legal to carry, or at least not defined as being illegal at
like
work.
Mace and pepper spray.
Right. So a lot of times your work won't have specific... I think of this like a loophole. Generally, if something's not specifically stated that it is against the rules, I will assume that it is not against the rules.
Yeah, if there's no rule against it, then there's no rule against it.
Yeah, you know, like... So different kinds of knives. You can carry defensive pocket folding knives. You can carry those it's not a Kramba bit, that's a knife. There's these, like, the name's eluding me at the moment. There's basically like steel batons for your keychain. Some of them are pointed, some of them are not pointed, that you can use in an attack to either like bludgeon the attacker using like your keys and that as a fulcrum point. Or with the pointed ones as a stabbing, you know, dagger melee weapon. Like Mike said, mace, tasers, both the kinds that shoot and or the kinds that you touch, may or may not be illegal depending on the way that your workplace rules are read, you know, wrote. And reading those rules, knowing them, and knowing what they don't say would be a huge boon. I've been wanting to use this word on the air for a while. It would behoove you to read those rules. I had a fan write in and was like, I love your podcast, but you say this word and this word wrong. And I was like...
What words?
I say truncate. The correct version of the word is truncate. And I say Frenzel lens, which is a magnifying lens. The correct pronunciation is more like French, and it's Fresnel lens. I will say Fresnel lens from now on. You, dear listener, you have changed my ways, and I will say Fresnel lens. But I will still say truncate, because I prefer it.
I wouldn't have that any other way.
Yeah, truncate sounds better. So, with that said, thank you, and...
Good night.
Good night. So I will say that correctly. I will say Fresnel lens correctly, but I will not say truncate. And that's just me. So non-lethal weapon. So yeah, the stabby thing. There are tactical pins, which are basically kind of like little stabbing dagger things that you can also write with. So that's, you know, they're reinforced so they won't break when you stab someone or, you know, gouge at them.
I'm a big fan of telescopic, like, billy clubs and nightsticks, batons.
Flapjacks, yeah, all of those things, depending on legality in your areas or workplace things, those sort of melee blunt weapons could or should be part of your workplace survival kit.
Baseball bats.
Yeah.
I picked this up for my son. It's a present. I just keep forgetting to bring it home.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, maybe if you work in a cubicle and you had like a, and you did like a DIY modified build to like put a lampshade and a light bulb in a baseball bat with like a fake, you know, basically like turn a baseball bat into a lamp with minimal like damaging of the ability to bludgeon someone. That could work. So whatever you can like get away with, like, oh, I just happen to have this katana as a cubicle decoration. Maybe your bosses are like, that's cool, bro. You can do that. Or,
my boss has katanas in his office. Yeah. Like several of them.
Yeah.
And he has a full thing of golf clubs. Cheap ones that he doesn't even normally use.
Yeah.
You know, and his gun.
So. As long as your boss isn't a dick and like, you know, I'm going to need your stapler. Doesn't take your stapler and all your weapons, then yeah, you can probably hide something in your desk.
You know, because of that movie, that's the reason I have a swing line stapler.
Is it red? His was,
yes,
red.
It was red.
Ah. Yeah. Make sure when you renegotiate your work contract, you demand a swing line red stapler. Mm-hmm. So you have a stapler.
And if they don't, I'm going to burn down the building.
Yeah. I hope you guys know where that comes from if you're listening to this podcast.
If you're the first person to email us with the correct movie reference, you get nothing. I don't care.
I was like, I know Ryan, you would email me, not Ryan the girl, Ryan the guy that's won every one of our contests.
Oh, Ryan. I want to talk about her for a minute.
Can we hold to the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's, we'll end it with some more banter. So yeah, probably can't carry brass knuckles because they're illegal pretty much everywhere. Here in Tennessee, though, you can now carry an auto knife, think switchblade, but it usually comes out the side, so it's just fast assisted opening.
It kills me. I mean, going back to brass knuckles for a second, I find those just fucking hilarious how they turn them into, like, belt buckles.
Yeah.
And that's some kind of a loophole.
Which, maybe that'll work for you.
But you know what? I'm not a fan of brass knuckles anyway, because you punch somebody a couple of good times, you're going to break your fucking hand. I mean, almost everybody I've ever heard of fucking using brass knuckles ends up with, like, fucking stress fractures and hairline fractures and green stick fractures and bone chips. And basically, their fucking hand, they end up with crippling arthritis later on.
Oh, yeah. Stupid mafia.
Especially
people.
From fucking repeated use.
Yeah.
And I've never heard of anybody actually wearing brass knuckles and punching somebody and not having their hand hurt afterwards.
Right.
The last thing you want to do is cripple yourself while you're crippling someone.
Yeah, but I say in an improvised method, you can usually take off your belt, wrap it around your fist, and get really good.
That's an old Marine trick.
A tip I learned from the TV show The Monkees, if you hold a roll of quarters in your hand and punch someone, magically you can punch through walls.
You learned that from The Monkees.
Hey, we're The Monkees.
Yes, people say we monkey around. I missed that episode.
Yeah, one of them was like, it was like trying to punch their way out of a door they were locked in with like a roll of quarters. And I was like, oh, that hurts. But, yeah. But in a survival situation, possibly holding a roll of quarters would give your fist more mass. But you may be able to like break a jaw, but you'd probably injure your hand as well because there's no protection on it. So probably not the best thing to use a roll of quarters.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, there's probably a lot. Oh, even so I found this out, and unless they've changed the rules, you can, for TSA approved, you know, for flights, you can put a padlock on your keys to keep your keys from being stolen, you know, with like a small length of chain. Somehow this is TSA approved. So maybe your work doesn't have rules against, you know, padlocks on chains in your keys. And if you hit someone with a padlock on a chain, you will fuck them up.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's one step away from the old prison weapons.
Yeah, which, You could obviously make shivs out of anything in your office, and
hey, you can beat the hell out of somebody with like a fucking bar of soap wrapped correctly in a towel.
Yeah, or take off your sock, stuff it with, you know, something heavy.
Can of soda in a pillowcase.
Yeah. Or any like mass item. Yeah.
Fuck yes.
So
there's always ways to get around that.
There are. Yeah.
Oh my God. One Steven Seagal movie, a cue ball in a bar towel makes for an excellent fucking weapon.
I know that one. Yeah.
I love that because in that scene, dude spat his teeth out on the pool table. I can't remember. It was one of those. It was one of those Steven
Seagal ones.
It was one of the early, you know, that had like a three name title. All of his great movies.
Yeah.
Had like those
Out
three,
for Revenge, A Time to Kill.
Like that. Marked for Justice, Out for Death, Above the Law.
Yeah.
On that, Deadly Ground.
I literally saw yesterday. He has a new release movie out.
He never stopped making movies. No. He just got fat and they quit being put in theaters.
Yeah. Actually, I was like, we're going to run short on this episode, and we're at like 40-something minutes.
That's because we keep talking about everything except the topic.
That's what you guys like.
This is a great fucking topic. I mean, and it just reminds us of everything, because we are true, like, we're children of the fucking action movie era.
Yeah. You will learn something in this podcast, but you will also be entertained. So, it is edutainment, unlike
the movie. I hate that word!
Yeah, I don't. I like edutainment.
It does not make me moist.
No. Two things before we wrap up, move on to some other points here. There is, in a lot of areas, and you want to check your work rules and your state laws and whatnot, but there's the car option. So,
hitting someone with a car?
No. In a lot of areas.
Oh, keeping your shit in your car.
Because, like, I know here in Tennessee, it's legal. It's like state law overrode all of the business rules, which I kind of like and don't like for obvious reasons.
You don't
but
like a business
it's
being
legal.
Told what they can or can't do with their business.
I don't know. I don't. But in this case, with the state law saying that you are allowed, if you have a concealed carry permit, to keep your weapon in your car regardless of your workplace rules. So whether your workplace says you can or cannot keep a firearm on you or in your car at work, here in the state of Tennessee, you can. And I know most all the businesses were forced to change their rulings to say that, yes, if you do have a concealed carry permit, you may keep your firearm in your car while at work on the work premise. So there's that option. I don't know what your state laws say, but a lot of them tend to extend castle law doctrine to your vehicle.
Castle law.
So basically, regardless of whether you have like a permit or whatnot, your home is your castle and you are allowed to defend it. Thusly.
That's like a consulate rule. Like cars that like consulates are technically foreign soil, and any car that is owned by the consulate is also considered foreign soil.
Yeah.
Foreign soil, and it's its own sovereign thing.
Right. So, yeah. And by extension, here in America, in a lot, if not all states, your car is also your castle, so you're allowed to defend it regardless of concealed carry permit or whatnot. California, disregard everything I've said. There's no telling what your rules are. You probably can't even have bubble gum for self-defense there, guys. Sorry.
You can't smoke in your own yard in California.
Yeah. I think they're trying to make it legal in your own house and everything else, too. But, yeah. So, yeah, that's another option. Maybe you can keep it in your car. And if you can get to your car in time to defend yourself or your coworkers, instead of going, like, generally I tend to think that you should just leave, but maybe there's a time and place that you want to keep your firearm in your car for that situation. And lastly, on the self-defense at work, survival at work, maybe you should just carry your concealed weapon. Maybe you need to make that judgment call. If you have a good concealed holster and your weapon is concealable and you dress appropriately, there's a good chance no one will ever know you've carried at work. I was going to say I may or may not have ever carried at work because of situations, and I actually don't know. So I may have actually carried at work concealed when I thought there was a time for violence. Even though, not this job, but a previous job, just in case my boss is listening, which I don't know that any of them would, but I don't really care. But yeah, at another job, I think I may have carried concealed just because I thought there was a good chance for violence. And, you know, maybe not all the time, which would be the best, because if you're not always prepared, you're never prepared. If you think that there's a high chance for workplace violence, say you work in like Ferguson right after the shooting, and you thought that there was a good chance that your workplace would be rioted upon, maybe you break the rules that day. You know, I can't tell you, but that's a personal choice. And if you can carry concealed well, no one will know, and that's extra defense for yourself. So that's you make that decision, and you make that decision based on when you think you might need it. So everything else you should be able to do all the time. Lastly, you know, carrying concealed is something you could do if you're bold, or you could do if you feel the situation calls for it. Yeah, that's all I've got. Hopefully, Matt, you gained a few bits of information.
Fuck yes, Matt.
In my 50 minutes of rambling.
All right.
And also, you learned that Hardcore Henry is the best action movie in the past 10 years.
Yes, absolutely. Really good movie.
Next, we have a thing?
Yeah, we have a thing. Our survival thingy.
So, normally, I pick an item that I've had, that I've reviewed, that I've talked about, that I've played with, and I give it a quick mention in the show, so that you guys are like, you know, because not everyone will read the blog, just like not everyone will listen to the podcast, so I like to spread it out, and also do YouTube videos, because, you know, people don't do all the different formats. But this year, for 2016, I released a holiday buying guide for survivalists, so some last-minute sort of stocking stuffers or bigger items. I tended to keep the things on the fairly cheap side just in case. And a lot of the things... okay, so if you buy through the Amazon affiliate link, thank you. I make a few pennies. You don't pay any more. But a lot of these items, such as like Bic lighters, mini Bic lighters, whatnot, you can find them in any store. So,
oh, yeah.
And they're items that like... you can get any survivalist, so yourself, or some of these ones you can give to spouses or whatnot, and they'll be happy. Like, you know, as an extra item, if someone's like, oh, James, I got you this, like, 3-pack of mini Bic lighters, you know, for your survival kits, well, thank you. Wool socks, you can pick them up at any store up until Christmas Eve, basically, until the store's closed. No survivalist ever is like, what the fuck, fucking wool socks? I hate you. Get out of here, jerk face. No, wool socks are always good.
Survivalists are so easy to shop for. They're the only people that you could literally buy them steel wool for Christmas, and they'd be very appreciative of it.
Yeah, which is weird, because for a couple years there, Mike was like, James, you're so hard to shop for. I have no idea what to get you. And I'm like, one, I have a million hobbies, and two, I usually will buy myself everything, but
that's why you're hard to shop for, because when you want something, you go get it.
But it's only of the more, like, it's only the mid-range. Like pretty much anything under $20, I'm like, yeah, I don't really know. Like, there are some, like, tactical gloves I wanted for shooting, like the Mechanics Tactical Glove series. They're, like, $16. I was always like, no, that's, maybe later. You know, but it's like, oh, I need this $200 hammock. Yeah, I'll go buy that. You know,
that's so fucking goofy.
Yeah, it's well, weird.
And another reason I always think you're hard to shop for is because you usually, if you get something, you get a good something, and I don't want to get you something that you already have, but a worse version of it.
Right.
Because I, you know, shop for a lot of people, and I can't afford to get everybody expensive gifts, unfortunately. Though this year, I did actually pay a pretty penny for yours.
Oh, wow. I was kind of, well, obviously, I ordered your...
I owed you, though.
I ordered your logo from Fiverr, from an Afghani designer, so that was like $5, but there was a second part to your gift that you'll get that you saw me wrapping, so you saw the box, not the, well, it wasn't even the box it came in, so it doesn't matter. So you saw that, and then, oh yeah, I gave you and your wife a dual Christmas gift, a together Christmas gift that you didn't seem to hate, so there's that.
What's that?
Your door is now a TARDIS.
Oh, yeah.
Your room is bigger on the inside.
That was more like an anniversary present. You did that while we were out for our anniversary.
That was just serendipitous timing on your part, that you were going to be gone and I knew I could build
he
it that
turned
night.
Our bedroom door into the TARDIS.
Yeah, from Doctor Who.
That is so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And our fans are geeks. They'll know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was going to say, that was kind of a pretty penny to buy the building supplies. Whatever. It's Christmas.
And I love you, bro.
Yeah.
And you know, I do have a slight rant.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's a very small one. Basically, I'm Couch Potato Mike, and I'm all geared up. The reason I'm all geared up is it's Christmas time. I shop for people. I shop for my loved ones, and I like getting them stuff that they really fucking like. And my only real rant about this is having to wait to do this like one day a year. And it seems like Christmas is the one day a year that people put aside their petty bullshit and actually start fucking liking each other and giving the presents and saying Merry Christmas instead of flipping off their fellow man. And you know, that is a good thing, but God damn it, this world will be a much better fucking place if people could just do this all fucking year round. I know it's cliche to say that you should take that Christmas spirit and keep it with you all the time, but God damn it, this world would be such a better place if you fucking would. But after Christmas, I know everybody's just going to revert back to drunken assholes, especially by New Year's. So, I'm Mike and I'm all geared up.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to rant, but I was going to say, I get really twerked and pissed off when people are bent out of shape that someone says Happy Holidays. Because I grew up saying Happy Holidays.
Oh.
It encompasses pretty much, for me at least, it encompasses like Halloween to New Year's. It's the whole season. The whole season is Happy Holidays, not Holiday.
It's weird because it's like reverse psychology fucking offensiveness. People get offended because you say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. And it's because, and most of the time people are saying Happy Holidays because they don't want to offend somebody, and you're getting offended by the effect not to try to fucking offend you. And I don't see why anybody should get offended whether you say Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Merry Christmas, whatever. Why would you be offended by somebody wishing you good tidings?
Exactly.
I mean, somebody saying that I hope you have an excellent day of whatever the hell it is. Somebody's giving you a nice compliment, well wishes, and you're going to get pissy about it.
Yeah, I don't care what you say to me. You know, if you say Happy Holiday, Kwanzaa, Merry Christmas, whatever.
Look, I'm not Jewish, but I'm not going to be offended by somebody wishing me a Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah.
If that's what they fucking say.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I would respond back with Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas or, yeah, you too, or something like that. But not like, oh, fuck you, you Jew. No, thanks for wishing me a good Christmas season or holiday or whatever.
No, that's
thanks for wishing me well.
Yeah, it's 2015 and 2016. I mean, everybody is offended by everything. And on that terrible disappointment, I think it's time for us to end.
Almost. We got a few things to cover, remember?
Oh, yeah. Ryan.
Nutrition Punk. Enjoy the holiday treats, my friends. And, you know, we'll be back on the band. Well, I am probably going to skip cheat day. But not
pudding.
For Christmas, though. For Christmas, I'm going to eat like a fatty boy.
Drink your custard and your fucking egg.
So, yeah. Enjoy the food. Have a good time.
Yep. And thank you, Ryan, who is putting us in a novel. More to come on that later.
Apocalyptic zombie novel or some point.
Fuck yeah.
Going to be awesome.
Fuck yeah.
We'll definitely give shout-outs once it's finished.
We love you, Ryan. And on that terrible disappointment.
There you go.
See, now it's not less, it's less apt now.
Yeah.
But it is time for us to end. So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
And James Sicklin Burnett.
Happy Holidays, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas. And to all you atheists, have a good day.
Also, you can give me a Merry Christmas by joining the Survival Punk Army at only $5 a month. And with that, DIY to Merry Christmas, you guys.
You guys!